everyone. Happy Monday. It's Monday. I know it's the best day of the week for you guys. You know why? I know it's because you're not ready to go to work, but you're ready to hear me while you're driving to work. And today I have a wonderful special guest slash co-host, and his name is Ray. Ray, introduce yourself to the people. Let them know your name, who you are.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ray Knight.
Hey, Ray, coming in with the smooth operator over here. Smooth operator. No, I love it, man. It's awesome. Ray Knight, yeah. Yo, you're going to kill me with the deep voice, but I was the one that had the deep voice, the only one that had the deep voice on this podcast. I know you guys are probably wondering. Oh, actually, Ray's the person that brought Jim Pawella that last week. I know you guys, I don't know if you guys liked the interview. The interview, it was the first interview. We enjoyed it. Jim was a great storyteller, man. He can just tell stories. He can be here all day telling stories.
It was surprising about Jim's history.
Yeah, it was.
His past. Because
you knew him. That's what I'm saying.
I knew Jim, but I didn't know that part of Jim.
Gotcha.
I had no idea about how he met his wife, because I know his wife as well. Mm-hmm. Actually, I speak more
to his wife.
To his wife.
You hear that, Jim? Jim, if you subscribe now,
watch out.
You better watch out.
No, but
it's always the brother.
Uh-huh. No, but they're wonderful people, and man, I didn't know that. It was interesting that how he met her on the plane.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was the most romantic thing ever when I read that. So we asked him to send us a mini bio, and I was like, oh, he happened to mention, hey, I married at 42, and I met my wife while on the, you know, flying to Taiwan from LA, and
she
I was
sat like, on his lap.
Oh no, his seat.
On his. Well, she was in his seat.
Oh, and then she sat on his lap?
But then she sat on his lap.
Really?
I think that was in the bio.
Oh, really? Are you sure?
I could be wrong.
Yo, you guys are freaky recollection of what took place. I remember seeing that bio because I studied over and over. You thought you sat in his lap or sat in his seat? I said seat.
I think she initially was in his seat, but I want to say.
Oh, I figured this
she
out.
She finished the plane ride on his lap.
Oh, I figured exactly what happened, guys. So what happened was, Ray was wondering about Jim's wife, Miss Pawella.
Pawella,
excuse me. And he was picturing her while he was there talking to her like she would sit on his lap.
Oh, no.
Damn, brother, I did not know you were into older women like that, but it's all good. Yeah, hey, hey, I don't, you know, he did say she was a little bit younger.
Yeah, she's a little bit younger than he is.
A little bit? Yeah. Okay. And we're just kidding, Jim. We're just kidding, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Kidding. All right, guys, enough. Yeah, kidding. We're just kidding. Yeah,
we're definitely kidding.
How was your week?
It's been a really good week. Just got some report cards from the kids, and
oh really?
During this COVID time, and my kids go to school or they go at home.
Okay, so it's the virtual school.
The virtual school.
Oh man! So they, I mean, are they? I know they have different tiers of that. Do they? Are they waking up with the school and going live, or they can get the work done whenever they want?
They wake up with the school.
Okay.
I have a elementary.
Yeah.
And I have a middle schooler.
Yeah.
But they both get up pretty early. They're early risers like me.
Okay.
And, so they get up with the school. They're with their class. And one kid hates it and one kid loves it.
Gotcha.
So my son Raymond, mm-hmm. he's a third. I'm a junior. And he hates it because he's like me, social butterfly. He likes people. Oh. He likes to be around people, like to talk to people.
Yeah.
And my elementary kid, Andrew, he loves it because he likes to be at home, likes to be around a family.
Yeah.
So.
Nah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. Our youngest is like the same. She's very social. She can really handle the virtual. So but she had the option because she was waking up with the class. And has either of them run into the issue where the teacher's not paying them attention because they're not there?
They've had all types of issues. They had issues where the teachers can't hear them. They'll have an issue where like, the camera isn't on the screen. There's been times when like kids are like typing stuff that's inappropriate. I mean, it's been all times.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So there's nobody. There's no monitor. There's like not somebody monitoring the actual chat line.
They only have one teacher for the live and for the actual class.
Wow. See, they that's ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah, they should have an assistant. They should have someone working with the live people, well, the virtual people, and the working with the teacher doing her job and the assistant handling the virtual people.
I think it's funding. I think it's
the funding.
Yeah, I think they can't afford it. I mean, from what I understand, they have. I think it's they have enough kids that are doing online for five schools.
For five schools?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I know they had a bunch of issues with teachers didn't want to go back because they felt like they're putting their lives at risk. And, I mean, especially now with all that coronavirus talk, and now you have the pillar or the spokesperson of it wasn't, you know, coronavirus is nothing catching coronavirus. I don't see. I watched the debate over. I watched it a couple of times because to me, I always thought it was a ploy. I was like, man, because it was so bad. I mean, both parties. I mean, it was just it was like watching a middle school fight, you know, or you know, arguing, name calling, and whatnot. It was. I mean, if you're watching it from afar, it was despicable. It's despicable as far as being an American and other people watching it. Across the world.
I think debates for presidential elections are not really great anyway because
they never answer the questions.
They never answer the questions. Nope. They talk over each other. Yep. And you only get like what, 2 minutes?
Yep.
You can't speak effectively about a topic or a policy in 2 minutes where it answers all your questions. It's not possible.
Exactly. I mean, if the way we're built, the way we are, it's the debates are like a damn sports gathering. It's like the finals. It's like the playoffs. If you follow an NBA or NFL, that's what it's like to me. Like two heads matching up, and this is round one, game one of the series. Because they have two or three debates as a for the presidency. They have two or three debates before.
I think one more left. Maybe canceled. I want to say.
Well, he said. They were gonna do it virtually, and Trump then said that he actually was gonna go, and they were like, "Hey, if you go, then they don't want him to go because he still is got the COVID."
It's a weird. This has been a weird year. A weird year, totally, just with everything.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. It's been a crazy ass year. yeah. Speaking of real crazy, especially with recent events, just so everybody knows, yeah, Ray and I, I've met Ray. I've known you for like what, 5 years, 6 years? I don't know, man. Because from LA Fitness, we would bowl together, and there's just certain people you run into that are genuine, and I give you that. Like we're not super duper close, but I know he's a cool guy and genuine. Because you ever had people that you meet and they just reach out to you out of where no one else is reaching out to you? I mean, I have close friends and they don't reach out and say, "Hey, man, I haven't heard from you. How are you checking?" And you've always done that. And I've always respected you and appreciated when you've done that. Especially because, you know, you never know when someone needs a text or whatever to feel important.
Right, right.
Or, you know, and have things going on. So it's nice to just be like, "Oh, man. Somebody, you know, I did make an impression on someone."
You did.
That, yeah, you know what I mean?
The impression on me you made was when I worked out with you, you kicked my butt. Because we worked out together. And,
yeah, we did.
And Reggie knows his stuff about working out. I can tell you that. And so when we did our workouts, Reggie would say, "Oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and that'd be it." Man, we work out and do those. I don't know, reps or whatnot. And then Reggie would say, "Let's go over here and do this right here." I'm like, "Whoa, I thought we were done by now." know, so he was killing me.
No, in fairness, I was doing that because I was, I have to see you. Basically, it's almost like a Richter scale. You almost have to see what the person's capable of. Because a lot of people, when they feel pain, bull crap. This dude's lying. So I worked out with him and his wife. So I worked out with him first, and his wife came along, and they both killed it. Because what I loved about it is that you follow instructions. I can tell you to do something once, and you'll sit there and you'll do it. And a lot of people don't have that attribute. A lot of people these days, they think they know it, so they cut off in the middle of an explanation or a demonstration, and they don't, and then they mess up, and they have no clue why they're not getting results. Whether it be in school, whether it be on the work, you know, in basketball drills or working out. So You know, I'm only as good as my my student.
I think that's because times have changed now. Because people don't listen anymore. They have their phones now. We got Google. You know, we want quick. We want instant. We got DoorDash. We want our food quick. Absolutely. We got fast food. We want things quick. I remember when I was in the Navy, mm-hmm. and to communicate with someone, I had to write a letter. Then I had to wait for like weeks or a month to get a response.
Oh, whoa. There's a fact I didn't know. Dude, you were in the Navy?
I was in the Navy.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, that's like crazy. Yeah. That's an upgrade. This dude just upgraded. I didn't even know, bro. Thank you for your services. How long were you in the Navy for? This is some cool ass shit when you find things out about a friend that you didn't even know. How long were you in the Navy
for? I was in the Navy for 4 years active,
okay.
and 5 years reserved. I was on the USS Constellation.
Okay.
It's an aircraft carrier. I was stationed in San Diego, California.
Wow, how was that?
It was wonderful, mm-hmm. and horrible at the same time.
Why is that?
Well, Navy life mm-hmm. is you are on a tin can, and you're packed in with a bunch of
dudes,
and you're like in a small space, and you have to you're just in a small space working together, and there's no privacy.
Gotcha.
But overall, it was a wonderful experience. It really, truly was. When I was coming out of high school, I didn't know what I really wanted to do.
Okay.
I knew I really wanted to see the world,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I was poor, and I knew that I wanted to do something that could be exciting, mm-hmm. fun, that could change my life.
Gotcha.
And the military was, you know, I heard a recruiter once, told me a few things, and I went and seen the recruiter, and boom, I was there. I signed up immediately.
Wow.
So I left pretty much, I graduated in June.
Yeah.
I left in November of, should I say the year, how old I am?
It's up to you, brother.
Yeah, it is. Well, I'm not
completely up to you.
97?
97, okay.
No, I'm sorry. That's when I got out. 93.
Okay. Yeah, when you signed up in
93. Yep. So, it was a great time, to be honest. I mean, I went and I've seen, been to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
I went to UAE, United Arab of Emirates. I've been to, Australia. I've gone to, Singapore. I've gone to Japan.
Wow. Okay.
Hong Kong. I've been to Vancouver, Canada.
Out of all the places you've been, which place would you go back to if you could and live?
And live.
Yeah, where you would live.
To be honest, all the places were nice. There isn't one that stands out as far as mm-hmm. the place because I wasn't there long enough
okay.
to really enjoy all of it, to really know how life would be there.
Yeah.
Because I was young and I had like a lot of fun there. So, I mean, I had fun everywhere. So everywhere was nice, and the people were nice.
Yeah. Well, is it true what they say that, you know, everything I see on TV about sailors getting off the boat and all of a sudden these women are just waiting ashore for you guys to show up in your damn white uniforms or whatnot, or gray uniforms. I don't know if you guys have white or gray, but
white.
White. This dude.
White and blue.
This dude is looking up. He's blue. Looking up with his eyes, so he's actually picturing everything I'm saying. So it must have been a great experience. It must have been like that. The woman coming on shore.
I'm going to say this.
What's up?
Okay, in Australia,
yeah,
they say that there's more women than men.
Yeah,
that's true.
Is that okay?
And
he's picking the safe one out. This dude is picking. He's picking the safe route. You know, I can't even press the right thing. Here we go. This is what I wanted to press. Oh, Lord. It was like the PSA message for kids. I will say, damn, Ray, you can just be real. Look, we know you're married. You know you got your wife. Your wife's not going to think. This is before her time. So it's like, yeah, it was great. yeah, so just get that treatment. That's all we need. I don't need the skinnies. I don't need the dirty stuff.
But I am giving you the skinnies.
I don't know what you want to do with. I don't know. I don't hear what you do with a life preserve and a native. No, I don't want to hear about any of that, bro. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be keep it like it is.
That man is praying to God right now.
Australia was great. Yeah. Vancouver was great.
Okay.
Singapore was great.
All right.
Japan was great. I mean, they're all great. UAE was different. United Arab Emirates.
Okay. Why so?
That was the first time I had been. I had seen people covered.
Okay.
Fully covered.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, because usually you see maybe one or two because there's not many in at that time when. It wasn't that many that I had seen. But there in UAE, there were so many, it was a shock to me. And they were covered from top to bottom. They were covered. You can only see their eyes.
Yeah.
And some of them even had like a football grill on their face.
Really?
Like they had it was like a grill covering their mouth, but it wasn't attached to their mouth. It was just covering. It was different, very different.
Did you know why they did that or why they had it?
I didn't know why, but
how was your treatment there, especially being African American?
I wasn't mistreated, or I wasn't treated in a way where I felt like I was treated differently or seen differently. Because okay. When you go to the mall or places like that, there are people who dress just like we do.
Okay,
but the difference is you see more of people who are dressed in their normal gear, wardrobe, and it's just more commonly seen versus seeing people dressed like we do in America. We just wear t-shirts and jeans and, you know, button downs and stuff like that. So, yeah, I couldn't tell you that I didn't feel treated differently at all.
Gotcha. I know that a lot of there's more so there are women that are covered up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. For religious reasons. And it's supposed to be, so they, you know, I think it's more so for, they don't lust after another woman, and she dresses that way for her husband. I mean, her husband is the only person that's supposed to see her naked.
Yes. And, yeah. And also their hair. I think their hair has to be covered.
Hair has to be covered. I think that's also in the, I think it's in the Quran. Yes. In the Quran. I know it's in the Bible because, it says that that shows that you have a husband. So a woman covers her head I forgot what it says in the Bible, but the woman's supposed to cover her head because she's not the head of the household, but a husband or something. Something like that. You guys will have to look that up. But anyway.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the answer for you. I don't.
None of us do, but I know it has to do, religiously as far as the hair being covered. But nah, man, that's really cool. What made you get out of it?
Privacy.
Oh, really?
And I tell you this. So when I was on the boat, and I would get off work, and you say it was time for you to get off work. You really didn't get off work. If they needed you, they can come get you. They knew where you were at.
Oh.
They knew where your bed was at. So they used to say, hey, we need you back in the workspace.
Gotcha.
So there was like no really off time if you were out to sea.
Gotcha.
Now, if we were in sea, if we were at port, then it'd be different. But when you're out to sea and they need you, you kind of had to go.
Wow.
So, and then, so I was hoping that when I got my enlistment was up, that I would be able to get off the boat.
Yeah.
But the detailer told me that I had to do one more year on the boat, and I was like, no way.
Damn. Okay.
I can't do one more year on this boat.
So that was your reason for leaving. That was your crossroad.
Oh, yeah.
So why did why did you choose the Navy over the other military branches? Was there a particular reason? I mean, because they all travel. I mean, I know one's on a boat, but that seems to be tough.
The Navy goes more places more frequently if you're on a ship.
Okay.
If you're in the Army, from what I felt at that or what I knew at that time when I was 18 going in, from what I was told by my recruiter, if you want to see the world, you go into the Navy. If you want to like go to bases here and there, be at a base for 4 years or 3 years or 2 years or whatever, and be stuck somewhere, that'd be the Army or the Marines, or the Air Force or the Coast Guard. So that's why I chose the Navy for that reason.
to be constantly moving, which makes sense. So because you wanted to see the world and you didn't want to be stationed too long.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Can't hold him down. I like that. Yeah. How was your week, by the way?
Week was good. I can tell you, my Bears won. So.
Your Bears won?
My Bears won. They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Tom Brady.
That was the craziest thing ever. I've seen, like I said, I had it on. It was like snippets going through, but I saw him, Tom getting angry, yelling at someone.
Tom was always angry when he's losing.
Yeah.
wouldn't you be?
And then he had the dispute over the four. Like, he actually is talking to the refs, telling him, isn't that four? We got fourth down coming now.
Hey, he's in his 40s now. So, you know, give him some grace, man. He's getting up there in age.
Yeah, I know. Do you ever watch Dispute? Skip Bayless or no?
I really don't watch Skip Bayless because he just says a lot. He just says stuff. Stuff.
Yeah, he does. He just sounds controversial to be controversial, which is annoying. Yeah. But yeah, he swears that Tom Brady is a better athlete or GOAT as far as than LeBron James, which is nuts. Not even the same.
That is crazy. I'm gonna say this right here. I'm a Michael Jordan fan.
I love Michael Jordan too.
All day, every day. All
right.
And when it comes to the greatest player to me, it is Michael. But
why is that? You mean as far as the greatest scorer, the greatest? Why would he be? See, when people say the greatest player,
I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
All right. First of all, Jordan doesn't flop. Number one.
Okay.
Number two, Jordan didn't have to go to a team with Dwayne Wade and.
Yeah, why do I Chris feel like Bosh? This is singling out on LeBron right now?
And yeah. Also. You are a great.
Okay.
No one called you out. But for some reason, LeBron is always called out.
Yeah, he's always called out because he passes the ball.
But Magic passed the ball. No one calls him out.
Yeah, but no one's ever compared Magic to Michael Jordan. I mean, Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan came and took the throne from Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. I always think this is one of the most underrated players. Isaiah Thomas was a beast, but
he is
beast.
I used to love to watch Isaiah play because
the ball handling skills and everything. The dude was, he's like Curry to me, but tougher.
I wouldn't say Curry. I would say more like I can't really compare someone to him right now.
Would you say Iverson? Would you say Kyrie Irving?
Yeah, but more fundamental Kyrie Irving.
Okay, more fundamentally sound as far as playing team ball.
Yeah, because Kyrie is...
He's got the Mamba mentality.
He's a one-man show.
Yeah, he's got the Mamba mentality.
Yeah, he's a one-man... I don't know how that's going to work out for him and...
Durant?
Durant.
Well, you know what? It might work out. You know why? Because he did defer to LeBron James. So LeBron showed him how to work with a superstar. Well, you know, LeBron James deferred to him too and let him take the lead. So it might, I see what you're saying because it's going to be two alpha males going at it for the last shot.
Yeah, but Durant can hold his own. I mean, Durant can lead the team. I don't know if like when Kyrie was with the Cleveland by himself.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
They didn't do anything.
He scored a lot, but they didn't do anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to wait and see. I mean,
And yeah, in Boston, Boston, he was built, but that team got broken up.
Boston,
chemistry went out the window.
Boston played better when he got hurt.
Yeah, I know. But don't tell me it was not fun to see this dude play and then be down and you're like, oh, watch it. This dude scored 10 points in a row, you know, 10 field goals in a row. Tyree Irving is just.
I love to watch Kyrie.
I love to watch him play.
I still go to YouTube and watch when he does his crossover dribbles.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
It is crazy.
Because, you can tell he practices so much. It's just second nature, man. He's not even – he's playing chess and they're playing checkers, man, when he's got the ball. They can't stop him. Nobody can stop this dude from scoring. Not only that, his high level of difficulty with the layups high off the glass. And so he can score any which way he wants,
Left-handed layups.
Yes, exactly.
He's right-handed. I mean, his left hand is as accurate as his right hand.
Exactly. Well, before you have topic, going back to you said so everything you mentioned about Jordan being great had to do with something with LeBron.
Here we go.
With LeBron.
The last thing. is
bias.
If I had, if we were down 1 point,
okay,
10 seconds left in the game, would I want LeBron or would I want Michael with the ball?
Yeah, of course. You want, yeah, if it's 10 seconds in a game, yeah, I want the ball to be in Michael Jordan's hand. And I'm pretty sure LeBron James would want it to be in Michael Jordan's hand.
Yes.
10 seconds?
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about a minute and 20 seconds. I want, LeBron can have it because he'll pass it to Jordan right there after he runs down the clock a little bit. To me, I think just like anything, I think there's going to be a debate, and it's not going to be the greatest. I think there'll be GOAT categories. Whenever they come up with it, because at the end of the day, we compare, if we're talking about all around wonderful player, sustained, no injuries, year 17, and whatnot, we can be like, okay, he's an ultimate athlete because he's on Mount Everest right now.
Listen. Watching LeBron, he's a living legend. Right,
yeah,
now.
Absolutely.
He's a living legend.
And he don't make you feel bad because, you know, when you looked at Jordan, you're like, damn, man, why did you come back to the Wizards? Why did you come back, Jordan, and play? Why? He was like, get in the damn front office. I know how we can win. Why? Well, who do you think we should get? Me. What? What are you talking about, Jordan? We can't have you. You too. No, bro, you just had the knee surgery. No, I got this. The greatest of all time. Did you hear what they said? They called me the GOAT.
That's that pride and ego.
Yeah, and then Father Time caught up to him. So you're like, damn. I mean, he was still killing people. And when he was still playing, when he came back, he was still doing some amazing stuff until he hurt his knee.
Right.
He still had an amazing season, but in comparison. But to me, LeBron James is like you said, a living legend. He's like watching a superhero play basketball. And you're oh my gosh, I'm watching Superman play ball.
He's a living legend.
And he's not lost a pip in a step. He can still jump out and fly out the damn building. So you're never disappointed like, oh no, he's going to get blocked. The dude surprises you. He amazes you.
Listen, he spends, I think I heard, what is it, $1 million?
$1 million,
yeah. On his body.
Mm-hmm.
That's unheard of.
Yes.
That's unheard of. I knew Jordan started working out, lifting weights and stuff. But I don't think anyone, maybe Kobe probably did too. I don't know what Kobe's. I know Kobe was a workout fiend himself.
But, yeah, he did boxing and all that other stuff. Yeah,
but they put a dollar amount on what LeBron does. A dollar amount, $1 million.
Yeah,
I mean,
which makes sense.
It does
because there's no off season.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah.
He's not injury prone. Because he doesn't let it rest. You know how it says, if you stop playing basketball, you go back and play a couple of years, then that's when you're prone to injury.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about as far as us being just regular people, regular men going to play at the youth league, but going to play at LA Fitness or something or going to the basketball courts. Yeah, we're liable to hurt ourselves because our body no longer has that muscle memory.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're out of shape.
But I put when we say LeBron and Michael,
yeah,
I always say, wait a minute, is LeBron better than Kobe?
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah, they always ask that. See, maybe it's just maybe it's just to create, just like they say, controversy is better than nothing.
It is.
It's just for the game. It's just basically to keep people watching the NBA so they can still, while he's still there, while he's still playing. Okay.
But let me say this right here. Like, I know LeBron is a better athlete
than
Jordan. I know that. I know that if I play in the NBA, I wouldn't want to play with Jordan.
Yeah.
I'd rather play with LeBron.
Oh, absolutely, because then I'll get the ball, and then I'll feel part of the team.
And
I won't get my ass whooped in practice. He won't beat you up.
And also, what LeBron did when he played with the Cleveland Cavaliers, when he went to his first NBA Finals, the team that he had, was hot, garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Hot. I think he had Eric Snow.
Mm-hmm.
No. That was Philadelphia. No, he had who did he have on this team? That's how bad it was.
Hey, I know.
I can't even remember.
I know, and nobody gives him kudos for that. Skip Bayless and whatever doesn't give kudos for that. Jordan didn't do that. Jordan didn't do that. Come on. Jordan got where he got after he got Pippen, Grant. Come on, man.
Yeah,
people act like like, you know, they got their superstars through draft, yeah. But, yeah, LeBron didn't get any help from Cleveland. No. So he had to make he's the reason the NBA is what it is today as far as superstars taking control of their own career.
Well, I think before him it was the big three of Boston. They had Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce.
I mean, did they form the super team?
Yeah, that was the first one I can remember.
They were not traded or anything? Because he was the only it seem like he was a free agent that did it first.
No, I'm sorry. That was the wrong three. I think it was Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Rajon Rondo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Boston. I think they made that team.
Oh, really?
I think they made that team, yeah. I don't think it wasn't through no draft because, you know, Garnett left.
Timberwolves?
The Timberwolves, yeah. So,
yeah.
And Ray Allen left, I forgot where he left. But
where did he left? Yeah. Oh, Ray Allen. Bucks?
It might have been the Bucks.
Yeah, Bucks probably, yeah. Uh-huh. I'm a recent player, yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. I stand to be corrected. I didn't know that. I thought it was, I mean, but they all make it seem like LeBron was the first one to do it and create the super team.
Nah, he wasn't the first. I think that's who they went through. I want to say did they go through them? I can't remember every.
No, it's fine.
Sports fact.
Yeah, we can't remember every sports fact, but it's good to touch on the history of it a little bit. I was going to say that LeBron, the reason I'm going to say LeBron is, well, I was just saying it has nothing to do with the GOAT, but the way he's carried himself off the court and on the court is amazing.
For a man to, he's been married with no drama.
Yeah, exactly.
No drama. He's been, you know, socially active as far as, you know, speaking out for what's right. He also has given back to, you know, the community where he's built schools and helped out people. So, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's a business partner with people he went to school with.
It was friends. His friends is, what's the guy's name? His agent. Well, not his agent, but his friend that is the agent he is a sports agent.
Right.
That basically has a lot of he's got Anthony Davis. Oh, what the heck is his name? Oh, my gosh. It escapes me. But, yeah, he's done that with.
And that's kind of unheard of when you keep the people that you circle from back in the day.
But is that the reason why he's grounded and who he is? Because he kept that circle. He kept the good around him and didn't let anyone else come.
It's got to be. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be.
Unlike Allen Iverson, man, he kept the wrong people with him. And that's why a lot of crap went down on for him in basketball.
Yeah. I mean, well, who was his circle, though? Think about that, though. I mean,
it was Hood.
Yeah, it was.
It was Mike Vick, the same thing, man. All these athletes picking. Yeah, so there's a lesson you guys should learn. Like, you are who you surround yourself with.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when shit hits the fan, no one really knows how anyone's going to react until their life's on the line or their freedom's on the line and they're singing to the birds. They're singing.
Yeah.
Singing, you selling you out, and you probably have nothing to do with it. Yeah, so always be mindful of the company you keep.
You don't know who your friends are until when you don't have nothing.
Exactly.
It's going for you, and you see who is there for you then.
Exactly.
Versus when you have everything going on great.
Yep.
Everything going good. You got money, got your job, your family's doing great, your kids not having, going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants to be around you then, but when you're having problems with your wife, your kids acting crazy.
Yep.
Your phone not ringing no more. It's like, why nobody calling me?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's why I appreciate you texting me out of the blue, because everyone needs to, like I said, everyone needs to know they matter sometime, at some point in time, even when, you know, even if it's random.
Right.
So it's like, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. Damn, okay. Cool. Yeah. I'm good. You know, so it's always good. Speaking of, you said how your week was. Man, I know you heard the drama with the bats. I heard you heard that episode.
Yeah, I did. And it's really weird because I don't really hear about bats around here that often.
Oh, there's bats around here, man. There's bats around here, okay? Because, and not only that, so I'm walking my dog the other day, and first and foremost, like you were saying, there's people that call you and text you, and you're like, okay, cool. They're in my circle. Mm-hmm. And then there's people that text you, and you're like, or call you, and you're like, Why are they calling me? What do they want? So the neighbor, down the street, we're not social like that, but we had his number because he's, you know, a handy person.
Okay.
So I'm
handy in what way? Cars, house stuff, what?
Oh, house stuff. So like house carpentry stuff. And whatever, okay. Plumbing and whatnot, you know? So I'm like, this dude rang me up and I'm like, maybe butt down me. He didn't leave a voicemail. Here's the thing, guys. If I don't hear from you often, don't ever call me because it's like, what? It's so funny how the whole phone, the phone etiquette has changed because before we used to be this society that when the phone rang, you picked it up. We were waiting. Oh, cool.
Immediately.
Yeah, like immediately. Hello,
you're excited.
Now you're like, yo, if you didn't text me, I'm not picking up the phone because you want something or you need something. And it's like, almost like now you're like, no, give me a text, a courtesy text so I can decide what the hell you want, if I want to be a part of it, if I don't. So it's just funny how we change the society.
Right.
From picking up the phone and running to pick up the phone to now that, no, I'm just phone.
If somebody call you, say, they'll leave a message.
Exactly.
Or they'll text me if it's important, right?
And if they don't leave a message, then, hey, wasn't important.
I was one of those guys who would call everybody for like Christmas, Thanksgiving. Just want to say, because I felt like the voice communication was better.
Okay.
But then as time went on, people started like not answering my phone call because they changed to
the text
messaging, and they wanted the text message versus somebody just saying,
yep.
And I was just they don't like me anymore.
Bro, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You know, the funny thing about it is it's a lot of work because you're like, the phone rings and you're like, damn, you know, they leave a voicemail. You're like, damn, now I got to listen to that voicemail.
Yeah.
Shit. Now I got to listen to the voicemail. Damn. Then you got to catch. Then you got a dilemma. Should I call back, pray that it goes to voicemail so I can return the favor? Or do I just text back and say, hey, man, I got your text. I appreciate you. I love you, man. Merry Christmas.
The easy way out.
Because sometimes you don't want that 30-minute catch-up conversation. So you're like, oh, gosh. So it's just funny how we change the society. But anyway, back to the story. So I'm walking my dog. I'm in Phoenix. Phoenix is over here. We're trying to find a new spot for him because apparently the neighborhood's saturated. He's got everything. He's marked everything. He's marked every pole, every mailbox, you know, every yard, every driveway. So we're trying to find new areas right now. You know, we're trying to...
Searching.
Exactly. We're searching. We're roaming, man. We're trying to find a spot. And I'm like, oh. So I see neighbor dude turn the block with his trailer and coming down. I'm like, what's going on there, man? Great, great, great. I'm on the phone. I got my earbud in. I'm on the phone with Kate. And I'm thinking, damn, I wish I had put the phone in my damn hand so I didn't have the earbud.
So he can see that you're on the phone.
Exactly. But he's one of these people that you probably like won't even care if you're on the phone. Mm-hmm. So pulls up to me.
They're out there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Fucker pulls up to me because I'll tell you why I call the fucker, and I don't care. Come see me. You know where I'm at.
Listen to this podcast.
Right? If you listen to this podcast, come see me. You know where I live.
At 50 Cent right
now. And I'll tell you why. Exactly. And I'll tell you why. So you're like, oh, hey. So he says some smart aleck remark. And I'm like, well, good morning. He's like, well, you know, being that it's Halloween and the snakes and the bats and whatnot, as soon as he said bats, I play dumb. Like, okay, what? What about, what are you going to say? You have bats? Because his wife came before when we had the Batman out. Batman was on the roof. She was nosy. He was like, oh, what's going on? You guys have birds or termites? No, we got bats. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, because of everything going on. It's bats everywhere. Mm-hmm. So this fucker. So I'll explain this to you. Seriously. I'll tell you the ignorance. And if any of you guys out there that are ignorant, I mean, if you buy his story, this dude said, we sent our bats down to his house. Are you fucking kidding me? How do we send bats? Yes.
You sent the bats to his house?
To his house.
Like special delivery?
Yes. Like, oh, your bats are down in my house. Motherfucker, I don't know them bats. How you know it's my bats? You know, dude, I didn't put claim on them. Like, the audacity, the way he did it. Like, oh, you know, he had this anger in it. And me, I'll tell you right now. And for those who know me, when I'm smiling and I'm looking at you crazy, that's because my blood is boiling on the inside, and I'm doing everything in God's will that He's given me to not go berserk. Because when I'm being disrespected, I'm like, okay, dude, you really blame me for your bad issue, and you don't even know because your wife drove by one day and was being nosy, and what's the guy doing on the roof?
So what do you wanted you to do? He wanted you to come get him?
I don't know. He's like, I even reckon. I was like, no, dude, but listen, here, we had the issue. We had to pay for this guy. We had an idiot that came out. He sucked. Here's that guy's name. Don't touch him. Oh, I've seen him before. Cool. I can patch you over the information for the guy that came that's reliable. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, he's going to have to spend I'm going to have to spend a little money. Well, you know, if you want, no bats.
Right.
Right. So I'm like, so I get home. I'm nice. Send in the text. You think he wrote back? No. I sent the Batman, hey, expect this phone call from this dude. Oh, he goes, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Then I tell dude, neighbor guy, hey, I let him know he's expecting your phone call. Nothing. Things like that irk me. Things like that piss me off. Especially because, like I said, I didn't have to do that. I could have sent you on your way and you could have find a way, do what we did and go through the trial and error finding a Batman. Because it's hard to find a Batman. Anyone that handles bats.
So since...
And he's in Gotham City.
So since 2000... This is October of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you spoken to this guy in this whole year?
That's a good question. Once or twice. Yes, once or twice. And the funny thing about it is, once or twice, and he's either waving or he's stopping by and saying, oh, how's it going? You know, and being nosy.
And now all of a sudden he's talking to you about your bats that you gave him.
Exactly. Supposedly gave him. Like, hey, man, I ain't the bat daddy.
Like you gave him crabs or something.
Exactly. Right? Oh, your bat's down here. I'm like, man, come on. That's the most ignorant thing you can ever say. That's like saying a stray cat that I feed goes down to you. Oh, your cat. Bro, it's a stray cat. Those bats, the mosquitoes. Are the mosquitoes mine too? Are the birds mine? Come on, man. Hey, enjoy your fucking bats, dude. You know, because you didn't complain when you went picking through my damn garbage and grabbing my damn kid's skateboard and shit down the street. So, I should say, hey, how about those things? But I don't. That's what pisses me off about people. Okay, you know, like, okay, I saw you on the Ring camera grabbing my shit. But I don't care. We put it out there and, you know, your kids are better for it, right? But again, this is my rant. And
get it off your chest.
Oh, I'm getting it to how you feel. Oh, I got a lot of pent up aggression. You know what I'm saying? I'm handling things for people who call me out as a Christian, bro. I'm the wrong. I'm not the same Christian as you guys. I'm not. So you know what I mean? I'm a work in progress. So I'm trying to be a good, but I'm a work in progress.
I think we all are a work in progress. I think we're all trying to develop and
be. I'm the Christian 2. I'm the Christian 2.0. 2020.
You're the Christian Tupac.
There you go. I'm reverting back to my younger days when I just angry person when I have to deal with stupid people and rude people. Oh man, why are people so damn rude? Even when you go, why do you feel like you're the customer? Do you ever feel like you're the customer service when you a customer service person or rep or when you go to Dunkin' Donuts, you're saying more thank you and welcome than the person that's handing you the food?
I want to go back to the phones.
Yeah, it's the phones, but hey, they're like, you got to say, oh, well, thank you. Oh, okay. Hey, you're welcome. And the person's like, here, there. I hear it all the time. I'm like, what?
It's because we don't talk anymore. We text, so we don't know how to communicate with people anymore.
Yeah, like if it's your job, you should be smiling. And what happened to you got to smile? Remember that you have to smile? You have to hear your smile through the phone?
Because they text and they don't really know how to smile. They haven't seen it. They don't see smiles anymore.
That's true. Oh yeah. Have you seen Social Dilemma on Netflix?
Social
Dilemma.
I didn't see it yet.
It's really good. It speaks on how social media and the creators of some of these things, the creators of the like button on Facebook and stuff. They said the reason they created that was to uplift, to bring positivity, not realizing that the small gratification, if people looked and they didn't have the much likes for this picture or that post, that it'd have a domino effect that it'd be like down because it didn't compare.
I remember one of our kids tried to get some kind of app to help them get more likes because they felt like they weren't
cool enough, special enough. What? Yeah, dude.
Yes.
they had this statistic. They said ever since, all right, so the kids that were born in, I want to say maybe 1999, maybe 2000 and something, when the internet, when did social media take off? I got to look. I think it, either 2005 or something, I don't know, is when all these social media things came off, Facebook and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So they've never, it's right. So the kids were born in 1999 and stuff like that. Or, yeah. Because they grew up when they finally got to 14 and stuff, they've been dealing with the social media.
Right.
So that's all they've known.
Exactly.
So the suicide rate has gone from what it would normally was to 175% up because they are depressed. They're if you watch this thing, you'd be like, keep your kids off of social media.
Yeah. I think I read or heard somewhere where Bill Gates doesn't allow his kids on the phone for extended amount of time, maybe an hour or two a day. I mean, that could be crazy. Exaggerated, but
yeah, it's
but because he knows the repercussions of being on social devices for long periods of time.
Yeah, it's addicting. I mean, I've seen people sit there and like you said, people don't have conversations anymore, and they've made it so. Oh, I forgot what they said. They made it so people are just panic when they don't have their phone on them. Like if. I think a person would panic more so if they leave their phone at home than if they left their
cards, their wallet.
That or their kid in a car. Yeah. Or you know what I mean? Like, oh my God, where's my phone? I think they'll realize they left their phone versus they left their kid in the car because they'll be like, oh, I got to check this.
That's probably true.
It has
to
be, man.
If back before we were going to restaurants, if you went to a restaurant, you would notice that if you see couples at a restaurant or people on a date or whatever.
Yeah.
They're on their phones.
Yeah, I know. They're the whole time. And then they're taking pictures of the food. Taking pictures of the food to show that what they're going to eat so that people can like them. And then they don't even engage in this conversation.
There's no engagement. There's no nothing.
Yeah, which is freaking nuts.
And people don't have eye contact anymore because they're looking at their phones.
No, exactly. And actually, speaking of eye contact, we actually have our second interviewer today, which happens to be April. You know her last name. I can't say it.
Brooker.
Brucker.
Brucker.
Brucker?
Brucker.
April Brucker.
Yes.
She's a ventriloquist. She's an actress. She's been on What Would You Do? She's been on Rachel Ray. She's appeared on Inside Edition on Wendy Williams. I mean,
don't forget she's a writer.
She's a writer as well. She has a book called I Came, I Sang. I Came, I Saw, I Sang. There you go. Where she talks about her
singing telegram.
Yeah. Her memoirs of being a telegrammer and how her journey from
being a
Pennsylvania
Bethel,
Pennsylvania,
yeah, small town,
yep, all the way to New York because she wanted to be a writer, and because she couldn't become a writer, she became.
Well, she felt like that was a place to go if she wanted to do anything to be famous.
Exactly, her mom. I believe her mom told her that's where you need to go. You need to go to New York because that's where everything happens. Is the magic, you know, when New York was the big time place with
the Mecca.
Yes, exactly. So we have her today, and that we're definitely going to talk to her in our next segment. So you guys stay tuned. This should be a good one.
This guy's like, oh, yeah, you want to make fun of a homeless lady? And he's yelling at me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, he was going to punch me. And they said, you know, they said, tell him it's not me. It was her making the jokes because it was me and May. And I'm like, it's her making the jokes. He's like, well, when the cops come, they're going to arrest both of you.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that. Italian. It was an Italian guy. I've seen it.
The guys from What Would You Do come out.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, so it's part, and this is the part that didn't make it. He goes, oh, so you're making a documentary where you're making fun of homeless people.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, no, the homeless woman's an actor. He put his hand inside me and made me talk.
This is bad.
Because the pro-life movement doesn't talk about the kids that are alive.
Mm. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. And so let's address the issues in the foster care system.
I agree.
So, yeah. And I have six cousins that are adopted. I think that more people, you know, they need to make it easier for people to adopt. So, yeah, I say, well, I have kids of my own. Well, I have 35 puppy kids of my own. But let's take care of the human kids that are already here.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. And that was a pretty fun interview. Wow.
It was. It was.
She had me rolling. And yo, your imitation, you're not too bad of a ventriloquist, man. You had it working.
Don't go there.
Dude,
don't go there.
You guys gotta jump on Zoom. No, excuse me. Jump on YouTube because Ray was, dude, you know what? I gotta figure out this. I'm not gonna lie. I'm tech savvy when it comes to certain things, but this whole Zoom thing I got to learn because I was trying to do the side by side and I couldn't figure it out where I had the dual screen, but
of you and I,
yes, of her and I with her.
Gotcha.
So they might not even be able to see. You guys are going to see April, lovely woman, great woman, but they're not going to really see your.
It's okay. They don't need. Nah, to see man, me we need anyway. To see.
We got.
It's
I gotta, okay. I got to hit her back up. We got to definitely get that back. God, that was amazing, man. What was your Lester? Was your steak?
Lester.
Oh my gosh, man.
I don't even know where that came from.
I don't know either, man.
Yeah. But she told me to smile really big.
Yep.
And I guess the way my brain works, I wasn't able to communicate to my hand and use it to move my hand and talk back and forth and respond. That's a talent.
No, it's definitely talent. It's practice.
It is because I couldn't think fast enough for me to respond back.
Yeah,
move my hands.
Speaking of, have you ever dated anyone that had any weird quirks or not the puppets, but did they have too many cats, too many dogs that it made things weird that you had to end the relationship?
I can definitely say no because I can say no to that.
No to that?
Yeah, that's never ever happened. No.
Never?
Yeah, never.
Hmm. Okay.
I think you kind of attract that kind of energy or things.
Wait, you know the law of attraction?
I haven't read the book or looked.
You haven't? It's on Netflix. You haven't watched that either?
I haven't watched it either, but
Lord.
I think you told me about it once, didn't you?
Yes, and your wife knows about it, right?
She does.
Yo, oh my gosh. Just dude.
Talks about it all the time.
Oh my gosh. I love attraction. Like attracts like. But that's speaking of that, you attract what you're projecting. So they might, for instance, people don't want to marry their parents. So you know a lot of girls that have daddy issues end up being with someone that's like their father. That's because they're putting out the energy as far as to stay away from it. But the universe doesn't see good or bad in a sense. It's more so it sees this is what you want because you're telling me this is what you want. It's always in your mind. So it's not seeing that you don't want it. It's seeing, oh, you must want this. So I'm going to attract this situation or that person to you. And notice how they're always in the same situation that plays over and over. Like, oh, I keep finding the same guy that's like this. Or I keep finding the same, like people always, it almost seems like they're dating the same people over and over with different faces and names.
Yeah, you kind of, that's kind of a weird thing, though, how you attract that type of, like, it's kind of true.
It is true.
No, I mean, it's true. It's so weird.
And metaphysics is
and you
facts.
Don't even want to admit it, though.
Yeah, it's very, because it's on you.
That's not true. That's not how it
works. Yeah, it's on you.
It is.
So, you're 90% responsible for 90% of the shit that happens, 10% of the stuff you can't control. But a lot of things happen all with thought. Thought actually sends out an energy, a frequency, and attracts things to you. And it's crazy, man. If you haven't, I implore you to watch the Secret and start experimenting with it. And you'll see what happens.
You mean the Law of Attraction?
No, watch the secret book. Well, the Law of Attraction, it's better explained if you read the book with Rhonda Byrne. But it's on Amazon. And it's on Netflix. So if you watch it on one of those platforms, I implore you to practice it and see what happens.
Maybe we should have Rhonda Byrne on here one.
If we can, yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah, I'm going to use the Law of Attraction. Yes, yes. Yes, definitely. Well, we should actually experiment. Yeah, I know. We should actually experiment and see. Well, I should put you to the test as a guinea pig and see what you attract, whether it's like, you don't like coffee. Ray doesn't like coffee, guys.
I don't like coffee. Is he weird? I don't need coffee.
Is he weird? He said he never had coffee. He just had
I took a sip of it.
He said he took a sip of coffee like someone's taking a puff of weed or something.
And I didn't like it.
And he didn't like it. I just never heard of this.
Yeah,
I think it's the Navy in him.
It's weird sailor. Because the Navy in me should have had coffee.
Yeah, you should have.
All those guys had coffee.
It's crazy. I think he's an alien. Yeah. Honestly, no, I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. Maybe, no, but
maybe we're all aliens.
We are. Well, not all of us. It's Some of us aren't from here, and we've seen that. On that note, man, I think we've kept you guys long enough, but I hope you guys enjoy the interview. I'm Reg.
I'm Ray.
I'm a Bro Rance, and we're out. You guys have a wonderful week.